morning, Shavuot. Say good morning. Let's begin. Our daf today is Tzadik Beis 92. We are picking up from Tzadik Aleph and Beis 91b, two lines up from the bottom. So actually, I take that back. Three lines up from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the second word on the line. We're supposed to have a beautiful daf ahead of us. A lot of Agarata, so we're going to go through parts of it somewhat quickly. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Mr. Isaac Samuel in memory of his beloved wife, Esther Bas Rabbi Chil Meir HaKohen. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her and the Shalom will have an aliyah in the family and a chama. And by Adam and Yudit Ben Zev, who are dedicating the shirim this month in honor of their mishpacha and in honor of the kihila. I'm Rabbi Huda Marav, so we'll say now we go by to Rabbi Huda said in the name of Rav, Kalamonea Halacha Mipi Talmud. Whoever goes ahead, and most of this is actually very interesting. This is literally translated, whoever goes ahead and withholds a halacha from a student. What this is talking about is someone who has the ability to teach Torah, but does not do so. Ki'ilu goes lo minachalas avosa. It's as if he's stealing from him, from the inheritance of his fathers. In other words, if you have the ability to go ahead and give someone Torah, but you do not do so, you don't teach them Torah, it's as if you are stealing from the inheritance, you're stealing from their inheritance. Shene'emar Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morasha kihilas Yaakov. Because as the pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us the Torah, Morasha kihilas Yaakov. It is a Morasha. It is an inheritance for the kihila of Yaakov. Morasha hi l'chol Yisrael m'sheishes yimei bereishes. It is an inheritance for Klal Yisrael from the beginning of creation. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida. Kalamonei halacha mipi a Talmid. So let's listen to this. Whoever goes ahead and withholds a halacha from a Talmid, which Rabbi says another way of saying, if you have the ability to teach, and you don't do so, Chazal lay a lot of fault at your doorstep. Rabbi says, if you take this a step further, what it's saying over here is the following. Every person has the ability to give something to someone else. So some people it's a shir, some people it's musar, some people it's guidance, some people it's etzah, some people it's tzedakah. Everybody has the capacity to give something to the other. And our job in life is to become givers. We still go about this over Yom Tov. Our job in life ultimately is to figure out what can I give to the other. If I don't give, and all I do is take, then by definition there's something deficient in my existence. That's the Gemara saying over here. So over here in the context of teaching Torah, so somebody's able to teach Torah and they don't do so, then even the fetuses in their mother's womb curse this individual. The pasuk says, quotes over here, from Mishlei, Monea bar yikavu la'om, ubracha l'rosh mashbir, top of tzadik beis. Ve'in la'om, ela ubrin. And Rabbi said the word la'om refers to fetuses, and their mother Shenemar, ula'om yila'om ya'emat, by Yaakov and Esav. Ve'in kavo, ela klava. And the word kavo means to curse, Shenemar, ma'akov lo kavo kel, by Bilam. Ve'in bar, ela tor, Shenemar, nashku bar penyanov. Ula bar yishmal amar, Menachvin oso kikivra. We'll say, listen to this. Ula by Yishmael says, we'll say, this is an amazing statement. Somebody who has the ability to learn Torah, someone who has the ability to teach Torah, but doesn't do so, literally, he will be pierced like a sieve. And we'll say, at first glance, that sounds like, what is he going to kill him? Whatever. So the Marashah says something amazing. What is he going to pierce him like a sieve? So we'll say, just like a sieve can't retain anything, so to a person who has the ability to teach Torah but doesn't do so, forgets his learning. And we'll say, understand, this Gemara is not just talking about teaching Torah. This Gemara is talking about, in general, about sharing your gifts with others. If you have gifts in life, whatever those gifts may be, and you don't share them with others, then what ends up happening is what? You lose them. Bless you. You lose them. Because at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us what He gives us in life in order to be able to share it with the other. If I share it, good. If I don't share it, then I lose it. So, Menam Ben Loki Kavra, Ki Siv Hacha, Yikavu Alo, Muk Siv Hasam, Vayikav Chor Bedalto, Vamra Abaye, Ki Uchla De Katsri. Abai says he becomes like an Uchla de Katsri. Rashi says over here, second line, Uchla de Katsri, Klishal Kufsin. This was a launderer's utensil. Shumenukov umizafin ba mayim ala begadin. So apparently the launderer had some type of utensil that was perforated that would sprinkle water on the garments. So just like the utensil can't hold onto the water, so to a person who does not share his life gifts with others will be unable to hold onto those gifts. V'im lamdo maschara. So listen to how beautiful this is. Now let's talk about the positive. Let's say I have the ability to teach Torah, and I share my Torah with others. So what is that person's reward? Amarav sheshes zocha lebrachas ki Yosef. So beautiful. Such a person is entitled to brachos like Yosef Atzadik. Shene Amar, Ubracha l'rosh mashbir. Ve'in mashbir ele Yosef. Who's the mashbir? The mashbir is Yosef. Shene Amar, Ve'yosef hu ha-shalit al ha-aretz ha-mashbir l'chol ha-aretz. Amar Rav Sheshes, Kalamalami Torah ba'olam hazeh. We'll say whoever goes ahead and teaches Torah in this world, Zoche umalam deli olam haba. Bosa, listen to how beautiful this is. Whoever teaches Torah, and Bosa, you understand, teaching Torah is lav dafka, just giving a shir. Teaching Torah is ultimately modeling the right kind of Torahic behavior in this world. Whoever goes out and teaches Torah in this world, zocha umelamda li olam haba, has the great schus, has the great privilege to go out and teach it in the world to come also. I don't know who the shir is. Maybe it's the same shir. So maybe we get to learn together in olam haba also. Wouldn't that be a treat? Incredible. So Gemara Shene Amar Umarve Gam Hu Yora. Amar Rava Minayin Tchias Meisim Minat Torah. So we'll say back to Tchias Meisim for a little bit. So from where do we see a scriptural allusion to Tchias Meisim? Shene Amar Yichi Ruvein Va'al Yamos. Ruvein shall live and he shall not die. Yichi Ruvein Ba'olam Hazeh. Ruvein will live in this world. Va'al Yamos the Olam Haba, and he will not die in the world to come. Ravina Amar Mehalcha. Ravina says from here. The Rabbim Yisheni Admas Afar Yakitzu. Eila lechaye ulam ve'eila charfas deron. Okay, ulam. Excuse me. Ladron ulam. I'm sorry. Rav Asher Amar Mehalcha. Vata lech lekeitz v'tanuach v'ta'amol legoralach lekeitz. And both of you actually say this out of Levaya. This is by Daniel. Vata lech lekeitz. You go to the end of days v'tanuach and you will rest. V'samod you will get back up legoralach to your faith lekeitz hayomin at the end of days. Amar Rabbi Elazar. So Sam, through some of the pesukim, we're just going to go quickly. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kol parnis shemanhig es atzibur b'nachas zocha umanhigam liolam haba. Any leader who leads his tzibur b'nachas with kindness. We'll say so. B'nachas is the Gemara brings down. We've seen a number of times about people who exploit leadership positions to put fear in the hearts of others. This is the opposite of that. This is a leader who leads his sibor benachos. Zocha umanhigam liolam haba. He will be privileged to lead them in the world to come as well. Shene amar, ki merachamam yinahagim, va'amabue mayim yinahalim. Vamra belazer, kidola dea, shednitna bein shtei osios. Dea, wisdom is great, for it was given between two names of God. Shene amar, ki kel deos Hashem. That was what the Gemara is picking up on over here is the following. It says, Deos, in between Kel and Hashem. So you see over here that Dea, we're going to define Dea in just a moment. So you see over here that Dea is exceptionally important, which means, we'll just translate it for a second as wisdom. Wisdom is important because it's given between the two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'amar Rabbi Elazar says, Godol Mikdash Shenetim Ben Shneoti Osh Ben Shneosios. The Beis HaMikdash is also great because yet the Beis HaMikdash is mentioned in between two names of God. Shnei Amar, Pa'alta Hashem Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yadecha. So again, you see, Mikdash is between two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maskev L'Ravada, Karchino Elame Ata, Kidola Nekama Shenitna Ben Shneosios. But one second, one can make the argument with Nekama. We'll say Nekama means vengeance. So the Nekama, divine vengeance, is also mentioned between two divine names. The Chsiv, Kel Mekamos Hashem, Kel Mekamos Sophia, Amarlei, Lemilsei Hachinami. To which the Gemara says, you're right. There are times when divine vengeance is absolutely important and absolutely necessary. So at times when it is beneficial, the vengeance is mentioned between the two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kidu'ula damra ula, shteo fios halalu lama, achas lemidas tova, va'achas lemidas paranas. So if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi, shteo fios, it's almost right in the middle of the smaller lines of Rashi. Dichsiv, kel nekamos Hashem, kel nekamos ofio, v'ika tre nekamos, v'chado fa betarvayu, v'dami kimandika akol nekamo, nekama chado fa. So also the idea over here is that divine vengeance in its right time is absolutely beneficial and absolutely important. I'm Rabbi Lazar. So we'll say, the Gemara says something amazing over here. Kol adam sheyesh bo dea, kiilu nivna beis hamikdash biyamav. Any person who has dea, it's as if the beis hamikdash was built in his days. We'll discuss what there is in just a moment. Shezen nite min shnei osios, vezen nite min shnei osios. For this one, the Beis HaMikdash was given in between two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Deah was given in between two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ba'amar Belazar, kol adam sheyesh bo Deah, which whoever has Deah, l'sof mis'asher, will become wealthy in the end. Shne'amar, u'bedas chadarim yimalu kol hon yikar v'noim. Ba'amar Belazar, kol adam she'ein bo Deah, aser l'rachim alav. Now, both say, this is a very dramatic statement. So Belazar says, any person who doesn't have Deah, you are not permitted to have Rachmanis on him. Then I will say, so what does that mean? So first of all, interestingly enough, we daven every single day in Atachonin La'adam Das. What are we asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we say Atachonin La'adam Das? What are we asking for? So amazingly enough, Rav Hirsch has a beautiful commentary on the Siddur. So Rav Hirsch says that, because remember, in that bracha, we ask for a number of things. So we translate all of them as knowledge. But obviously, again, if we're using different words, it must mean that there are different forms of knowledge. So what does Deah mean? So Mizraf Rav Hirsch says, Deah denotes the true perception of the real nature of things and conditions. So Deah represents the ability to see things for what they are, or if perhaps better stated, a firm grasp on reality. So a person who does not, so the Gemara says over here, kol adam she'en bodea, a person who doesn't have a firm grasp on reality, aser l'rachim alav, you can't have compassion on him. Now, so I'll say, so what does that mean? What it means is that a person, there are many things, you can't acquire a photographic memory. Right? Either you have it or you don't have it. The same way that you can't say acquire a mathematical mind. You have one or you don't have one. However, again, having common sense and being able to see life for the reality that it is, that is something that every single person is capable of doing. Now, the reality is that many people choose not to see reality. Many people choose not to see the reality of who they are, of what they are. Many people choose not to see the reality of their circumstances. Many people choose not to see the reality of their mishpachos. So Rabbi Lazar says over here, kol adam she'in bodei asur rachim alav. If somebody chooses not to see the reality, you can't have rachmanas on them. In other words, that's a choice they're making. Somebody stricken by a disease, you can have rachmanas on them. Somebody suffers a financial setback, you can have rachmanas on them. Someone chooses to live life with their head buried in the sand and not to see their reality, to dafka purposely not to see the reality, asal rachim alav. Shenamar. By the way, so this is, I'll tell you this one. Shenamar, ki lo ambinosu, akin lo yirachamenu, osehu, v'yotzro lo yichanun. So we'll say, so the Sfasema says, Sinus, what do you do? How could a Jew not have rachmanas on another Jew, even if he can't see that? So the Sfas 7 says, only says you can't have rachmanas on him when he doesn't have deah. So teach him how to have deah. Right? So the answer is not walk away from, the answer is teach him how to see, undig, right? Dig up, undig his head. That didn't make sense. But okay. You know what I mean? Help him get his head out of the sand. Meaning help him see the reality for what it is. So the Gemara goes, right? Ramar Belazar, hakanosin pito lemi she'in bo deah, yisurin barna. We'll say this is so profound. Whoever gives bread to someone who doesn't have deah, so suffering comes upon that individual. And we'll say, what does that mean? So remember, giving someone bread, we'll say, it's just to give this, a good, means enabling someone. Anyone who goes ahead and enables someone to continue to live in an alternate reality, anyone who enables someone to continue to lead a bad lifestyle, to continue to make, we'll say, we do this all the time, whether it's with mishpacha, whether it's with friends, we don't want to hurt people's feelings, we don't want to upset someone, so I see someone doing something objectively wrong, I don't want to open my mouth, I don't want to make it worse, okay, just understand, at the end of the day, you're enabling bad decisions, you're enabling a negative lifestyle, you're enabling, ultimately, again, a person to keep their head in the sand. So enabling someone to continue to make bad life decisions, Yisurin Barnalov. Suffering comes upon a person. I must say, I often think when the Gemara says something like this, it doesn't mean Chesh Baruch is going to strike you with Tsaras. Yisurin Barnalov means at the end of the day, one day you're going to realize that you made things worse for this person. What you think you're helping, you think you're being kind, you think what you're doing is a chesed, at the end of the day you're hurting yourself and you're hurting this person. Shneamar. Any person ultimately, again, who doesn't have deah, At the end of the day, he will be exiled. The Bible says, same yisod. If we understand Deah as common sense, so I'll say, a person chooses not to live life, seeing reality for what it is. You know, I'll say, there are some people like this. There are some people who everything that goes wrong, every setback is always someone else. There's always someone to blame. Maybe you have a role in it. Maybe it's something I'm doing. Maybe I'm not making it. No. It's never me. It's always someone or something else. So a person like that, Jabosai, who doesn't see reality for what it is, who doesn't see life for what it is, Lesof Gola, such a person ultimately, again, is sent to exile. Now, what does that mean, Jabosai? What it means is they're never going to find quiet enough. They're never going to be able to settle down. They're never going to be able to make for themselves a makom. Because since, again, they refuse to see reality for what it is, they can never truly put down roots. Shene emar, lachin gala amim meblidas. Amar olazer, kol bayi she'in divrei Torah nishma bobalayla. What it says, a very profound Gemara. Any home in which words of Torah are not heard in at night, ish ochloso, fire will consume it. Now, what does this mean? That if I don't learn Torah at night in my home, then lemais, again, the fire will consume. Fire will consume my home. So again, the way the Ben Yoyod understands this Gemara is quite beautifully. Refers to a home where a person is a balabas. A person works. So what does a person need to do when they come home at night? So of course, eat dinner, spend time with your family. But a person has to make sure that they are learning Torah in their home at night. Lav dafka, a person has to run out to the Beis Medrash every single night, especially if you're running out to the Beis Medrash in the early hours of the morning. But a person has to learn Torah in their home at night. There has to be Torah that occurs, even if it's for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, for 15 minutes, at the dining room table, on the couch, wherever it is. But a person has to be learning Torah in their home. If not, ish ochloso. It will say ish ultimately means the following. Ish always represents taiva. Ish always represents desire. Person spends an entire day working, they find themselves in the material gashmi world. If I don't end off my day with Torah, that means when I put my head down on the pillow, I'm going to sleep in a state of gashmis. I'm going to sleep in a state of taiva. Person has to temper that fire of the daily gashmis with a little bit of Torah. Again, like I said, it doesn't have to be hours, but just a few minutes at night to be able to learn Torah helps to extinguish the fire in the home. Shene Amar, Kocho Shech Tamal Tzvunot Ochla Aishla Nofach, Yor Esrid Ba'alo. In Srid, Ela Tam Tchach, Shene Amar, Ubisridim Asher Hashem Korei. V'amr Belazer, Kol She'inu Mahana Tam Dicha Chamim Minichasov, En Rosa Mbracha. He will say, anyone who doesn't share of his nechasim, of his property, with Tamidi Chachamim, with Torah scholars, doesn't see bracha in this world. We'll say, now, what does that mean? What that means is that we have to support Torah. That again, if a person has a parnasa, a person is a professional, a person has a job, a person works, so they have to make sure that they help to support the world of Torah as well. And if I make money, but I don't go ahead and help to support Torah, then Eino Roas Simen Bracha Li Olam. Then I will say, I'm not going to see the bracha. Now, by the way, these Gemaras don't mean that if you don't support Torah, you're going to lose all of your money. There are plenty of people who have tons of money and don't support Torah. The idea is, Eino Roas Simen Bracha means you're not going to feel fulfillment. You know, both like, there are plenty of people who have wonderful gashmius, but yet for some reason they don't find fulfillment. You see, my simchal yom, so they have to get this, or they have to go here, or they have to do this. See, this, I don't understand, Ploni. You've got so much. You have so much already. Why do you need this thing? Why do you need to go here? Why do you need to get this? Because it was like, when a person isn't using their gashmius in the right way, they don't find fulfillment in it. That's the chab. So if I have beautiful gashmius, but I'm not about tzedakah, or I'm not supporting Torah, I mean, it's really one and the same, I'm not doing good things with my gashmius, then ein roes simen bracha means I won't find fulfillment in that gashmius. It loved Afka, Kosh Baruch Hu is going to take it away from me. He'll let me keep it because I'm a good person. I'm working hard for it. But at the end of the day, I won't find the fulfillment in it. Shene Emar, Ein Srid La'ochlo, Akin Lo Yochel Tuvo, Ein Srid La'otam Li Chacham, Shene Emar, Besridim Asher Hashem Korei. V'am Rabbi Lazar, we'll say, this is actually another amazing Gemara. This is incredible stuff. Kol She'eno, Mishayah Pas HaShulchano. Anyone who does not leave bread on his table, Eina roe simen bracha will not see blessing in his home. Lo lom shneamar in srid lo achlo al king lo yachal tuvo. So I b'ha'amar, but 1 second. I'm Rabbi Lazar. Kol mashari pesisim al shulchanu kilo obin aval dizara. But yes, Rabbi Lazar said that whoever leaves pieces of bread on his table, it's as if he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. Shine Emar, Ha'orchim Lagad Shulchan, Vamemalim Lemanim Memaseich. So Rabbi said, the Pasuk over here talks about that some of the Avodah Zarahs, the way you worship them, is you would set a table filled with food in front of them. So whoever purposely goes in and leaves food on the table, it's like he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. So which one is it? He's leaving bread on the table, a good thing or not a good thing? So lo kasha, hadi'ika shlima b'hadei, hadaleka shlima b'hadei. To which the Gemara says it's not a kasha. If after the meal I purposely bring out a full loaf, that's when it's like I'm being worshipping Avodah Zarah. But when the Gemara, but Rabbi Elazar says that it's a good thing, that's when I leave pieces of bread on the table. So we'll say, so just so you should know, this is a halach in Shulchan Aruch. The halach in Shulchan Aruch, this is in Hilchos Betzias HaPas. This is in Arach Hayim Simen Kuf Pei Sif Beis. Look what the Shulchan Aruch says. Kol mi she'eino m'shayer pas al shulchano, eino roe simen bracha. Whoever does not leave bread on his table does not see blessing. Now, what does this mean? So the Mishnah Berurah comments on this. He says, "The tzarich l'shayer kedei she mizunan la'ani sheyavo." But the way the Mishnah Berurah says halacha is following: will say that when you're having a meal, there always has to be bread on your table. Now, why? What does this mean? What it means is that should an ani come to your doorstep while you're having a meal, you should be ready, and we should be ready to be able to supply the ani with something. So the idea is the additional bread on the table represents a willingness to go ahead and give the ani who shows up at my doorstep. Now, I don't know that the halacha is therefore saying, there are some, by the way, who are dafka always makbid to have bread on their table. Always have to have bread on the table. Even if they weren't washing. Now, again, if one's not washing, I don't know if the halacha says you have to have bread on the table, but the yisod ultimately is that make sure to always have on your table something extra, so that should an ani come to your doorstep, you're ready to give them something to eat. And Abbas, are you going to say to yourself, but when was the last time? I'm not going to ask the last time an ani showed up at our doorstep. That was, 5 minutes ago. At Baruch Hashem, we have the great schus often at our homes. Usually not for a meal. Usually not for food. Usually more for collecting funds. But Abbas, the idea is a mindset that when a person goes ahead and is having a meal, and they have additional food on their table, and they say, whether it's the symbolic loaf or whatever it is, and they say, this is for the ani. Shouldn't ani show up? I stand ready to go ahead and feed the ani. I also understand what it means on two levels. First of all, out of familial sensitivity to show children and to show ourselves that, by the way, there are people out there who don't have food to eat. It's an important yisod because sometimes the cries of I don't like what's for dinner or having this again or leftovers once again. So sometimes it's good for a little bit of reality check that not everybody has something to eat. And also, Rabbos, that conditions us to be balit stuck and to be givers. The idea is that if every single time I sit at a meal, I say to myself, you know what, if an ani shows up at my doorstep and he's hungry, I have something to be able to give him. It's an incredible idea. So the Shulchan Aruch actually goes on and he says, that when the meal is over, a person dafka shouldn't go ahead and put a full loaf on the table, because that's reminiscent of Avodah Zarah. There's a lot more involved in this halacha, but just see this halacha on the books. So the Gemara goes weiter. I have to apologize to you because I'm not doing justice to any of these Gemaras just because of the length of the daf and the shortness of the time. But tonight, when you go home after work and you learn based on what we just saw, so you'll review some of these Gemaras. Amar Belazar, Kalamachlif Pidiburo. What's that? Kalamachlif Pidiburo literally means, Rashi says over here, it's on the left hand side of Rashi, Mishana Pidibur Shalyaniker. So Rashi understands that somebody who changes his voice will not be recognizable. On the most basic level, what it means is someone who doesn't stand by his word. Someone who says something but doesn't stand by his word. Kilo Obed Avodah Zarah. It's as if he's worshipping idolatry. Ksiv Hacha, Vayisi Beim of Kimisasea, Uksiv Hassam, Hebel Hema Maasei Tatuim. Both an incredible yisod. What's the connection between not keeping your word and Avodah Zarah? See, Rabbi Sai, what Avodah Zarah represents is a fundamental lack of allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not standing by your word represents a fundamental lack of allegiance to yourself. All you have in life is your word, is your integrity, is your honor. So a person who doesn't go ahead and honor his words, he lacks integrity, he lacks allegiance to himself. Just like an Ovid Avodah Zarah Mavos, or Kol Mistakel Be'erva. Whoever looks at the Aaron Avos, and though this refers to, we've seen this Gemara before, this refers to a man who looks at the Makom Erva of a woman. Now, this could be even one's own wife. There's even certain Dinei Tznius, even between a husband and his wife, about being mistakel of Makom Erva, Kashto Nin Eres. It was like Kashto Nin Eres literally means his bow is emptied. What does that mean? Now she says, Kashto Nin Eres, Koach Koshi Eivr Shalo Ninar. He becomes impotent. He becomes impotent that a man essentially, we'll say what it's saying is that a man who goes ahead and acts in an over sexualized way. So the punishment for that ultimately is he loses some of that drive. He loses some of that normal drive. Shene Emar, Arya to Orkashtach, Ramu Lazar, Liolam Havi Kabel Vikiyim. Kibal v'kiyim. Rashi says over here, "Havi kabel, have anavatichya." A person should always be humble, and he will live. So the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Zera, "Afana nami tinin." We learn this as well that being humble is good. Bayis afel in poschin lo chalonos liros nigo. Shema min Abos is actually very amazing. The halacha is that if there is tsaras in a home, Abos, the only way ultimately to examine tsaras in a home is through sunlight. Let's say, however, again, the tsaras is situated in a part of the home that has no direct sunlight. I might have thought the halacha is I have to punch a window into the wall. I don't. The halacha is, if there's no sunlight, then by definition, it can't become negatzaras. So we'll say, the Gemara is using this as a metaphor for humility. So the idea is that the darkness represents a little bit of the humility. So you see that sometimes when you're humble, you're able to save yourself from a lot of tsar in life. Amrab Tavi, Amrab Yoshia. Mai Tichsiv. What does the pasuk mean? Sha'ol va'otzerechem eres lo sava mai. So we'll say, what does it mean? Ultimately, again, that the grave and the narrowness of the womb will not go ahead and be sated. So v'chima inyan sha'ol eitzel rechem. What's the connection between the grave and the narrow and the womb? El lomar lecha ma rechem machnis umotzi af sha'ol machnis umotzi. Just like the womb takes in, that's a reference to bia, umotzi and gives birth, af sha'ol, so to the grave machnis will take in the body, umotzi, and ultimately we'll give it back. A reference to the resurrection of the dead, Tchias HaMesim. Falod Ram Kavachomer, but this is a Kavachomer. Umar Rechem Shemachnisim Baba Chashay Motzi Mimeno Bekole Kolos. We'll say the womb, which takes in, meaning during the act of intimacy, all is done quietly. But yet Motzi in Mimeno Bekole Kolos. When a woman gives birth, again there's Kole Kolos, there are many cries. Sha'ol Shemachnisim Baba Kolos. When a person is buried amidst incredible cries, Eino Din Shemotzien Mimeno Bekole Kolos. All the more so what? When the mace is removed from the grave, it's certainly Bekole Kolos as well. Now, I will say, the difference is those cries are what? Those cries are happy cries. When the grave gives back the individual Tchias HaMesim, those are happy cries. Mikan Shuva LaOmrim in Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. Now, I will say, here is a refutation of those who say that there is no scriptural allusion to Tchias HaMesim. Turn to Be'elio. Tzadikim Sha'asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachiosan. Einon Chozron Ofran. And this is an amazing Gemara. So Tanit Be'elio says that the tzaddikim will come back to life. Einon Chozron Ofran. So actually, again, this Yosef Lerner asked this question yesterday at the end of Shir. So I say when the tzaddikim come back, Tchias HaMesim, Einon Chozron Ofran. Now, Einon Chozron Ofran sounds like they don't die again. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Shasrech L'Shbaruch L'Hachios Limos HaMashiach. We're not going to get into this now. But remember, we started this parak on Shabbos, so we discussed the idea that there's a lot of terms that are used in parak chelek, like olam haba, asid, lavo, yimos hamashiach. So the Gemara seems to be talking about over here that there's a period of Tchias HaMesim, resurrection of the dead, but then there's also something afterwards called Olam Haba, and that there's some type of death experience that some will experience in between Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba, except for the Tzadikim. Once the Tzadikim come back, they come back. Shene Emar, V'anishar B'tzion V'anosu Yerushalayim Kadosh Yomar Lo, Kalakasa V'chaim Yerushalayim, Ma'akadosh Li'olam Kayim, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists forever, Avheim Li'olam Kayim. And so too the tzaddikim, when they come back, will exist forever as well. Amabez. Ay, Vim Tomar, O Sun Shanim Shasach L'Shbaruch Hu L'Chadish Ezolomo, But what about the years? What about those years in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to renew His world? So I'll say again, what this sounds like over here is some type of period of time between Tchias HaNisim and what we call Olam Haba. What about those years? What happened? Shnei Emar, V'niska V'Hashem Levado V'Yamahu. God will be alone in the world at that time. Tzadikim Mahin Osim. What did the Tzadikim do at that time? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osanam K'nafayim K'nisharim V'shatin Al Pnei Amayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give the Tzadikim wings like eagles, and they will hover above the water. So we'll say even this imagery of hovering above the water is very reminiscent of what? Bereishis Baralakim. So again, I don't profess to understand the timeline of these events, but somehow the Gemara is making reference to some type of rebirth or regeneration of the world after Tchias HaNisim, before the period of what some call Olam Haba. So what are the Tzadikim going to do? So apparently everyone else dies again and comes back again. The Tzadikim don't die again. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives them wings and they hover over the water. Shnei Emar, Akim lo nira b'hamir eretz, b'mot harim b'lev yom, v'shem ha'tamar yesh lan tsar. Maybe you'll say they have tsar, tamalomar, v'kol v'Hashem yachalifu koach, yalu evar kan sharim. Yarutzu v'lo yigo, yelechu v'lo ye'afu. So ultimately, again, those who place their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find themselves with renewed koach, and the idea over here is that during this period of renewal, the tzaddikim experience no pain. V'neilif, v'meisim shechya yecheskel. So we'll say, so why don't we learn out? The Nalev. Now, why don't we go ahead and learn this out? And I was going to say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. The Nalev, Mimesim Shech Yechezkel. Why don't we learn this out from the dead that Yechezkel brought back to life? So, we made reference to this episode already yesterday, right? The episode of Yechezkel, the Atzamas Yeveshos, the dry bones that Yechezkel brought back to life. So, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, first short line on the right-hand column of Rashi, V'nilif m'meisim shekhe yecheskel, shechazru u'meisu kach tzadikim she'asid lach yoso, yachzru lafram. So we'll say, the dead that Yecheskel revived died again. So why don't we learn from here that even the tzadikim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings back to life will die again. So the Gemara says, Sovala kimandamra be'emes mashal haya. So we'll see, actually very interesting. That some say that ultimately, again, that what ended up happening with Yechezkel was not literal, but rather, again, was a mashal. Take a look at Rashi. Be'emes be'barer mashal haya. Shahaya mirameis lahem ala galus, ki'adam meis, shechozer v'chai, kach yisrael yashuv min ha'galus. That Yechezkel didn't literally bring anyone back to life, but rather, again, it was a metaphor. That the bringing of the dead back to life was a metaphor, ultimately, for Klal Yisrael experiencing a renewal after galus. Disanyo, Rabbi Loza, or meisim shechi Yechezkel, amdu aragleim va'amu shiru umesu. Rabbi Shabbalaza says that the dead that Yechezkel revived stood on their feet, said shira, and died again. Umash shira amru. What shira did they say? Hashem memes b'tzedek u'mechaye b'rachamim. God puts to death with tzedek, with justice, and brings back to life with rachamim. Shua omer shira zu amru. They said the following shira. Hashem memes u'mechaye morid sh'ovayal. Rabbi Yehuda omer emes mashal haya. Rabbi Yehuda says, in reality, you're right, Yechezkel didn't literally bring anyone back to life, but rather, again, what happened? It's a mashal, it's a metaphor. V'amra lo, Rabbi Nechemiah, v'im emes, lama mashal, v'im mashal, lama emes. So I'll say, interestingly enough, so the Gemara is picking up on over here is that Rabbi Yehuda's lashon is interesting. Emes mashal haya. He will say, now, emes means it really happened. Mashal means it's a metaphor. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand. If it was emes, then it's not a mashal. If it's a mashal, then it's not emes. So what's the pshat? So the Gemara says, rather, what it means to say is the following. In reality, it was a mashal. So we'll say, Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Yosef Levi, says, no, just the opposite. It was not a mashal at all. Rather, what? The mesim, the dead that Yechezkel brought back to life, really came back to life. And what happened? They made aliyah. They went to Eretz Yisrael. V'nasu nashim, they got married. V'holidu banam u'banos, they had children and they had children. Amad Rabbi Yehuda ben Mesira aragla v'amar ani mibnei bneihem. That was amazing. Rabbi Yehuda ben Mesira says, and by the way, I'm going to tell you it's not a metaphor. I'm the proof that it's not a metaphor. What's the proof? I am a grandchild of one of the people who was brought back to life by Yecheskel. V'halalu tefillin sheniach li avi abba mehem. And what's amazing enough, and he said with him, Sarah says, and I inherited the tefillin from, and I inherited, my grandfather gave me his tefillin that he himself received from one of those who was revived by Yecheskel. Incredible. Umanihu, so what's the rabbi, who were these people? Who were these people ultimately, again, who died in this valley, right? Again, remember, were buried in this valley and brought back to life by Yecheskel. Who were they? Umaninu, Mesim Shechei Yecheskel. Who were the people who brought back to life by Yecheskel? Amarav, Elu B'nei Ephraim, Shemanu L'Keis V'To. These were the children of the tribe of Ephraim, ultimately, again, who had a mistaken calculation about redemption from Egypt. So let's listen to this. The Gemara tells the story of Yeshanei Amar, Ubnei Ephraim, Shuselach, Ubarad, Beno, V'tachas Beno, V'alad Beno, V'tachas Beno, V'tachas Beno, V'zevad Beno, V'shuselach Beno, V'ezer, V'elad, V'hargum, Anshe Gat, Hano, Ladin, Barad, Suksiv, V'yisabel Ephraim, Avihem, Yomim Rabim, V'yavo, Echav, L'nachamo. So we'll say, there's an amazing untold narrative here about the Shevet Ephraim. So apparently, again, Abba says, Shevet Ephraim had calculated that it was time for the redemption. They made a mistaken calculation, and what happened? They left Egypt. They left Egypt. As a result, they were killed by the Egyptians. They actually managed to escape. They got out a little bit, but then they were killed upon escape. So those are the atzamos, those are the bones that Yecheskel brought back to life. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Elu b'nei adam shekafru b'tchias amesim. This was a group of people who did not believe in resurrection. Shnei Amar, Vayomer Eli, Ben Adam. Hatzamos Elu kobeis Yisrael, Heima heina omrim yavshu atzmosenu, Va'avda tikvasenu, Nigzer alanu. Rabbi Yerbi Abar Abba Amar, Elu b'nei adam, Shein b'em nachluchish shal mitzvah. These were people, again, who had no moisture of mitzvah in their bone. No moisture of mitzvah in their bone. So what does that mean, nachluchish shal mitzvah? You know, every Jew has some nachluchish shal mitzvah, has something. These were people who were so devoid of anything ruchni that they didn't even have the moisture of mitzvah in them. Shnei Amar, Ha'atzamos Hayeveshos Shimu Devar Hashem. These dry bones, the Gemara understands dry bones ultimately again to mean individuals who mamash didn't even have a lachluchish shal mitzvah. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar, Eilu b'nei Adam, Shechipu Es HaHechal Kulush Gatzim V'Ramasim. These are people who were so base and so evil that they covered the walls of the Beis HaMikdash with images of Shkatzim and Ramasim, creepy and crawly things, in order to go ahead and defile the Beis HaMikdash. Shnei Amar, Va'avol Ve'era Ve'hinei Kol Tavnis Remes Pei Meshekes V'chol Gilulei Beis Yisrael Mechoka Ala Kir Saviv. Ksiv Hasam Ve'Avirani Aleim Saviv Saviv. Rabbi Yochanan will say first of all, Rabbi Yochanan says, Elu Mesim Shebebikas Dura. These are the people who were killed in Bikas Dura. We'll discuss that story in just a moment. But I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mehar Ishal Ad Rabos Bikas Dura. These were people who were killed from between the area of Nar Ishal until Bikas Dura. We'll say, what's the story over here? Shebisha Shehigla Nebuchadnezzar. The second wide line. Shebisha Shehigla Nebuchadnezzar HaRashas Yisrael. When Nebuchadnezzar exiled the Jews, is by the destruction of the first base of Mikdash. Hayu Bahim Bachurin Sheyimeganin Esachama Biofyon. There were some Jewish young men, I will say, who were so handsome, it literally means that they eclipsed the sun with their beauty. They had such luminescent beauty that literally they eclipsed the sun with their beauty. Vayukastios ra'os osam vishofas zavos. And what happens? The Kasti women saw them and began literally again to experience a flow of blood. They both say, in halacha, there's something called dam chibo. Dam chiba means that if a woman becomes very, if there could be a state where a woman becomes very aroused or becomes very emotional, that she could experience a flow of blood. So the women were so aroused by the sight of these handsome Jewish men that they began to have a flow of blood. Amru lebaalehen, so they told their husbands, ubaalehen lemelech, and the husbands told the king, siva hamelech vahargum. So the king commanded that these young, handsome men be killed. Va'adayin hayushofos zavos. But even dead, the corpses of these young men were still exceptionally handsome and caused them to experience this flow of blood. Siva hamelech v'ramsum. The king commanded and had their bodies trampled. So by having their bodies trampled, ultimately Nebuch, the corpses were disfigured, and as a result, again, the handsomeness was lost. So some say again, is it, so okay, fine. So Now that we mentioned Nebuchadnezzar, the Gemara is going to speak a little bit about Nebuchadnezzar. Turn Rabbanon. B'shoshib on Nebuchadnezzar, Rasha is Chananya, Mishal, Ba'azariah, Lekiv, Shana'ish, at the time that Nebuchadnezzar threw Chananya, Mishal, and Azariah. So again, remember, we know this story. Chananya, Mishal, and Azariah refused to bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. As a result, Nebuchadnezzar throws them into the fiery furnace. Amalak, Baruch Hu, Yechezkel. So God said to Yechezkel, at the moment that Nebuchadnezzar threw Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah into the furnace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yechezkel, Leich v'hechia meisim b'bikas dura. Go and revive the dead in Bikas dura. So I remember again, the Gemara just got off by saying that the dead in Bikas dura were Nebuch, these young men who were killed and trampled by the king, by Nebuchadnezzar. So after Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah thrown into the Kivshan Ha'ish, God concurrently commands Yechezkel, go and revive the dead in Bikas dura. Kevan Shechia Osam, once Yechezkel brought them back to life, Bo'u Atzamos v'tavchu lo la'osa rasha upon them. The bones literally went ahead and came and slapped Nebuchadnezzar in the face. Now what does that mean? So the Gemara says, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says over here, it's in the left-hand column of Rashi, the second wide line. So our first line, Bo'u Atzamos v'tavchu lo la'osa rasha upon them. V'auchulam v'istar mishami osan Atzamos hayelo kelim. Listen to this. So apparently Nebuchadnezzar is an incredible evil. After he had these boys killed in Bikas dura, he made like utensils out of their bones. So when Yechezkel brought the bones back to life, the very cup that Nebuchadnezzar was drinking from came back to life and smacked him in the face. So the Gemara says, Amar, Mati van Shalilu. So Nebuchadnezzar asks, understandably, what's going on over here? What's happening over here? Amrlo, Chavereyan shel Elu mechayim eisim abikas dura. So his advisors told him, the friend of these guys, which guys? Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah, the three guys you just threw into the furnace, their friend is bringing back the dead in Bikas dura, v'amar. And Nebuchadnezzar said, Asoi kama ravravin, vitamhuhi kama takifin mahuse malchus alam v'shaltane amdar dar. So something amazing happens. In this very moment when Nebuchadnezzar realizes the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he begins to sing Shira. He begins to say how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Yutzak zav rosech lesoch piv. Let molten gold be poured into the mouth of this Rasha. Sha'osu Rasha. Shil mali lo ba malach v'sitra piv. In that moment, a malach came, hit Nebuchadnezzar in the mouth and shut him up. So if a malach would not have stopped Nebuchadnezzar from singing Shira, Bikesh lignos kol shiros ishbachos shamar dava b'sefer dava. This is amazing. Had the malach not stopped Nebuchadnezzar from singing Shira, the entire book of Tehillim would have been hidden away. We'll say, what does that mean? That Nebuchadnezzar's Shira would have been even more beautiful than David HaMelech's Sefer Tehillim. Which was like, do you understand the profundity of that statement? Which makes sense. Because wherever you find the greatest rishus, wherever you find the greatest evil, that's also where there is the greatest capacity for greatness as well. That's why, again, the same way that Chazal bring down, that had Esav chosen to channel his kohos in the right way, he would have been greater than Yaakov. He would have been greater than Yaakov. Nebuchadnezzar, when he chooses to sing Shiros, his Yishbachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could have sang even greater Shira than David Melech Yisrael. It's incredible. Tan Rabbanan, Shisha Nisim Asuba Osiyam. We'll say six miracles occurred that day. This is talking about the day that Nebuchadnezzar threw Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah into the Kivshan Ha'ish. Now, remember, it's a busy day. So Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah are in the Kivshan. They're in the furnace. Yechezkel is bringing back the dead in Bikas dura. Right? Nebuchadnezzar's flatware is slapping him in the face. So this, and he's singing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that day. Six miracles occurred on that day. Eluhein, we'll say these are the six things. Number one, Tzafa Kivshan. So Nebuchadnezzar apparently had this very large cauldron where he used to go ahead and throw people into if they would not bow down to his idol. This is not unique for Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah. Anyone who would not pledge their allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar thrown into the Kivshan. So this Kivshan was so large that it was embedded in the ground. Miraculously, it came out of the ground. Now the reason it came out of the ground is in order that people should publicly see Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah miraculously emerge from this Kivshan. Next, Nifratz HaKivshan, the wall of the Kivshan was breached. This again was all in order to for people to see Chananiah, Mishael, and Azariah walk out. Next, V'humak Sodo, there was a crack in the foundation of the Kivshan. We'll see the power of this. The Nepach Tzelem Apanov, the great, the large statue of Nebuchadnezzar fell on its face. The Nisrefu Arba Malchios, the four royal families who helped Nebuchadnezzar were all killed out. They were burned. Ve'achia Yecheskel Zamesim, the Yecheskel brought back the dead. Ve'bikastura. Ve'kulu Gimara. So we'll say all of these miracles are based on our tradition. Ve'arba Malchios Kra. But the death of the four royal families who helped Nebuchadnezzar, this we'll say is a pasuk. Where's the pasuk? So you see, this is Sefer Daniel. Tichsev Unevuchanetzar Malka Shalach leMichnash uleAch Shtarpina. Excuse me. UleAch Shtarpinaya Singia Pachava Ar like Aseres Bnei Haman Adar Gavzia Gavdia Gavr. Sorry. Kidavaria Ditavaria Tiftaye V'chol Shiltoni Midinisa. So we'll say, so it lists all of the families of Nebuchadnezzar, Uksiv, and then Rabbo say a little bit later, Isi Gubern Yudon, Uksiv, Uksiv, Umiskanshin Achstarpia, Segaya, Parvasa, Vadavi Malka, Chazle Garealach. So we'll say the idea over here is that in the first pasuk it lists a number of families, and in the second pasuk it lists the same families less four. What happened to those four families of Osai? Ultimately, again, they were killed on that day for the help they gave Nebuchadnezzar, ultimately in establishing the cauldron and killing Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up in Meretz Hashem, second to last line, Shatov, tomorrow.